Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are all of us kingdom seekers. From the toddler who's just started to train his parents so as to make a little kingdom for himself at home, to the old man fiddling with his will so as to control his children long after his demise. The young married couple dueling for dominance, who have the power. The businessman developing his company. The proud homeowner improving his house and his property. Kingdoms call us, don't they? And of course, politicians who prepare and plan for years in advance. Politicians who promise us the stars and pull at the strings of our self-interest or of our fears. And all of this for a little kingdom, for a little while. We all of us are kingdom seekers. The question is, whose kingdom? Whose kingdom comes first, God or mammon? You cannot serve them both. Judas is cited, you know, as the example of a man who tried. He kept the purse, the apostles' common money. And he thought he could keep a little of it for himself on the side while still following the Galilean. But when he saw money that could have ended up in his purse poured out as perfume on Christ's feet, it dawned on him that our Lord was promising no kingdom of power and prestige and politics. And because you can't serve God and mammon both, he made his choice and he turned Christ into the Jews for 30 pieces of silver. No man can serve two masters. And if it is self and not the Savior you are seeking, then that kingdom of yours you're building up becomes a heavy burden to bear indeed. The story is told about a World War II soldier in Italy who wanted very much to bring home some kind of a wonderful souvenir from his time in Europe. And he came across a magnificent antique Baroque mirror, its frame carved wood, gilded. It was almost as big as he was, and he found it in the ruins of a bombed palace. How it escaped, he didn't know. But he picked it up, and he tied it to his back, and he thought, I'll take this back to my family, why not? So he traveled with the mirror, dodging bullets and walking through wreckage. Eventually, his life came to center on that mirror, and he lost food and sleep over it. He'd have to leave the mirror behind and then go back for it at night. And so much energy was poured out on one thing, just preserving that mirror. One day, quite by surprise, he lost his grip on it. It slipped from his back, and it was broken to bits on the sidewalk. You know what? After the initial shock of it, he didn't miss it at all. He was relieved, because now he was free. He was free to go back to being a soldier again, which is what he was supposed to be doing all of that time. He realized that mirror had become his master. Next weekend, I'm asking you, well, the King really is asking you to let your mirror slip off your back and let it smash on the ground. The heavy weight of your own kingdom seeking, built up perhaps over the years. Let it fall. that mirror which shows you only yourself. And then look up and look through another piece of glass. It's a little one. It's not much bigger than the palm of my hand. It is shaped like a locket and closed with gold, and it contains infinity, God under glass in the monstrance. Come for 40 hours. To gaze upon Jesus Hostia, Jesus in the host. Take his yoke on you. His burden is easy and light. Rededicate yourself to this gracious King's service. Take next weekend off from politics, the personal or the business or the family, and certainly the national. And come to 40 hours. Once again, we'll sing the beautiful old Pange Lingua, as the clergy and the children process. And then comes the roar of the Ora Pro Nobis, of the Litany of the Saints. Then the silent service of the men all night long, the faithful during the day adoring the swift, stately beauty of the solemn masses celebrated by Father Cicada, assisted by the two young Levites, our future priests. May this devotion take us back to the only kingdom that will endure and that matters, the kingdom which asks so little and gives so much. If only we would. It is providentially, they call this Sunday the Sunday of Divine Providence, described for us in the offertory verse that is sung just as the priest takes the veil off the chalice. The angel of the Lord, the 33rd Psalm, shall encamp round about them that fear him and shall deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is sweet. You can't see and you can't taste it, though, unless you're seeking it, the altar, Christ the King, from which he must rule, not in the four walls of this new church alone, but this whole world of ours. Every Sunday, that's why we come. We seek him, but next weekend in a particular way. And around his throne, what do you see? Are encamped his soldiers, his saints, not only the canonized saints symbolized by our beautiful statues, but you, St. Paul says that all the baptized are saints. And if you're seeking his kingdom, you're on your way to becoming one. And then there's that which you can't see, I don't think. Maybe some of you could. The angelic host, in their thousands probably, who surround this altar to worship, but also to ward off the attacks of Satan's hordes against us. A soldier has to be fed, and the king himself furnishes the food for this feast. And as he does, he cries out, "I have overcome the world." Think of it. Just when you were about to give your loyalty to the world, what a loser you would have been for that. But now he tells you, my victory is your victory. We're working together for the same kingdom, even as my flesh is your food. At every Mass, not just today with this gospel, but at every Mass, the Church shows us the two rival kingdoms, God and Mammon, not to make you decide, kind of an altar call, as the Protestants have. No, you made that decision a long time ago when you were baptized. But to show that in this conflict, all of the victory is on our side. We alone possess an invincible weapon, the oblatio munda, the pure sacrifice, the true Mass. And we alone are fed with bread from heaven, the bread that this army has to march on to victory. And finally, nothing else, not the disorder in the church, the lack of authority, not all the divisions or the false doctrine, not an understandable discouragement that faces Catholics today, not even the mighty pull of the TV set, the best propaganda money can buy, as the secret societies which rule our country and our world try to manipulate your mind. Not even that is going to conquer you. All of this and my own weakness too seethes before the strength of this King. After all, St. Paul tells us in the epistle today that if you belong to Christ, there, you've crucified your flesh with all of its lusts and all of its vices. That's where they are. And you belong to the King. And so the victory is ours as long as we stay near the altar. That's why we need a 40 hours devotion to make us remember, what is it that I am supposed to be seeking? Whose kingdom have you been seeking? And what is that I see strapped to your back? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.